Well, it's good to be here this morning. I'm thankful for the opportunity. I'll just give you a fair warning. I lost my watch over the room I'm staying in at the house, but there's a clock looking right at me, right in the face here, so we probably won't be here any longer than we should. I appreciate the call to repentance that the preacher just gave. If you're not saved, if you're not born again, you ought to get saved today. Could be your last day on planet Earth. You may not even get home from church this afternoon. You need to think about the consequences of dying without Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's a horrible thing to think about. I don't think death is something that you enjoy. I don't think it's anything that we're excited about doing. But to die as a Christian, everything gets a whole lot better. But to die as a lost man, everything gets horribly worse. And it all depends on what Jesus Christ did on the cross and what you do with what Jesus Christ did on the cross. I want you to look at your book, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We got a little echo in this thing, I think. If you can change it, or I can take it off, or whatever. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll just read the first two verses. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning, knowing nothing but the cross. If there was one subject that we ought to attempt to master, it would be the crucifixion. For it's the cornerstone of the Christian faith. It's the heart of our life in Christ Jesus. Nothing in all of human history compares with what happened on the cross that day some 2,000 plus years ago. Now, our teacher in Sunday school, at least here in the adult, he brought out an interesting thing I'd never really thought of in my life. He talked about the contrast or the comparison between Joseph and Jesus, how they were treated of their brethren and the things that happened to them in life. It's very interesting. One of these days, it's going to be a sermon. I'm going to preach it. But nothing compares with Calvary. And the Apostle Paul says, basically here, the cross, Jesus Christ being crucified, is the crux of my ministry. I mean, without Calvary, the world of sinners would have no hope. I was in a church a few weeks ago, and they sang a song. I don't know if I'd ever heard it before, but it had this lyric: it is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. What a tremendous statement. It's enough. Jesus did enough on Calvary to redeem every sinner that has ever come into this world. Without the resurrection and the hope beyond the grave, how miserable men would be. You get to the end of 1 Corinthians and it talks about that blessed hope and all that goes on. I was in another church a little bit ago, this year, a few weeks ago, and they sang a song I'd never heard before. It had this lyric in it: I know what a sinner I was, and I know what a Savior He is. If that doesn't sum it up, I know what a sinner I was, but thank God I know what a Savior he is. Came into this world to save sinners. I got just three quick points. I want you to initially consider this. The cross was planned and ordained before anything ever existed on this planet and all the planets. He had planned the path of redemption and reconciliation. For the Bible says in Ephesians 1:4, we are chosen, He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Verse 5 of that chapter, we've been adopted according to the good pleasure of His will. Verse 6, to the praise of His glory and His grace, He makes us accepted in the brethren. Now, when you address people, I addressed a few people this morning, shaking some hands. I said, how you doing, brother? We're partakers. We have the same Father. God has become our Father. What a wonderful relationship we have. Verse 7 of that chapter says, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. The riches of His grace. Enough grace to save every sinner that ever came into this world. Grace, grace, God's marvelous grace. Christ's death was designed before one bit of creation. 1 Peter 1:18, we're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. But verse 19 of that chapter says, with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Foreordained. Verse 20 of that chapter, foreordained before the foundation of the world. God has designs on you this morning to reach you with the precious gospel. Come to your senses and realize without Christ, you are in a hopeless condition. To die without Christ as your Savior is the greatest tragedy that a man could ever endure. For hell awaits. I came across this little thought when preparing these three little points that I have. Jesus said on the cross to His Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Literally, I believe that God turned His back on His Son. Jesus said, why hast thou forsaken me? You know why that happened? Because of you. And because of me. What a price He paid for our redemption. My second thought this morning is Christ, the cross of Christ is the greatest expression of God's love for man. My favorite verse in the New Testament, and I've probably quoted it in this church many, many times, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him, talking about Jesus, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God made Jesus to be what we are, so that we could become what He is. Amen. Now are we the sons of God. Yeah. And it doth not appear what we shall. But one of these days, we sang about it, the choir sang about it. Hallelujah. Yeah. The joy of being reconciled to God the Father. It chronicles, it quantifies all of our sins are gone because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Christ's sacrifice is the only sure path to forgiveness and new life. There's a new name written down in glory, and thank God it's mine.
Yeah.
It's mine. I got born again. My dad was a preacher. My grandfather was a preacher. Uncle was a preacher. Cousins a preacher. All my brothers are preachers. But I got born again when I was nearly 21 years of age. Sometime between 2:30 and 3 o'clock in the morning, the 15th day of March, 1970. My name got written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's an eternal. He wrote with an eternal pen. With ink that can never be blotted out. I have a new name in glory. And so do you if you're saved. And if you're not this morning, you ought to get saved. The best thing you could ever do for your family, the best thing you could ever do for your future, the best thing you could ever do for your neighbors, the best thing you could ever do for the fellows you work with, the best thing you could ever do, sir, is get born again. My third thought is this, final thought also. The cross covers our past, it corrects our present, and it crowns our future. You know, a lot of great things happened in our country over the years. There was Appomattox, there was the ship out there off the coast of Japan or the Philippines when the peace was signed for World War II, and just the other day, we went to the backside of the moon. Nobody had ever been to the backside of the moon. I don't know why anybody would want to go to the backside of the moon. A lot of great things have happened. Wars and treaties and politics and covenants. But not one thing, not one thing touches remotely that which transpired that dark day on Calvary's brow. When Jesus Christ paid the sin debt for every sinner that has ever disgraced this planet with their presence, he paid it all that day. Jeremiah chapter 49, it talks about how their sins had to be a sacrifice every year, year after year after year after year. Sometimes there was a little special time when it went 2 years, but you never could go beyond that, and then you just have to confess and get it right, and confess and get it right, and a lamb had to be sacrificed. You know the story. You know what happened. But that's all in the past. For Jesus Christ has justified us by his grace, through his blood that was shed on Calvary, through faith in the sacrifice that was made, the blood that was shed, it declares his righteousness is imputed in us. You say, I don't understand all that. I don't either, but I tell you, I am a thankful participant. I am a grateful recipient of the grace of God and the blood being applied to my life. I like the song we used to sing in Sunday school. Gone, 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 yes, my sins are gone. They're buried in the depths of the deepest sea, never to be remembered against us again. If you are saved and redeemed by the loving sacrifice of Calvary, my favorite song is Calvary Covers It All. My sin and my shame, all the hateful things, the godless things a sinner does, Calvary covers it all. The blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary. It's beyond comprehension, really. You know, maybe you got saved when you were a 10-year-old boy or a 13-year-old girl, or maybe you got saved when you were a 50-year-old man or a 70-year-old lady. Somewhere along the road of life, it's hard really to compute what actually happened to a sinner doomed for an eternity in hell. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin and makes us fit for heaven, equips us for glory. I'll tell you about it, make a Presbyterian shout. What God can do in the life of a sinner. I read a lot about famous people, and I saw a little quip. Matter of fact, I saw this on my phone. I like the song, "It Is No Secret What God Can Do." And there's a little clip, you can probably find it yourself. The man that wrote that song was named Stuart Hamblin. And Stuart was an actor. He was a cowboy actor, basically. He was in movies with John Wayne. And after I found that out, I found it on my phone. I found a film that he was in the movie, and he sang. This was before he was a Christian. And Billy Graham came to Los Angeles, did a great crusade way back in 1949 or 1951, way back in the day. And that was a long time ago, because I was born in 1949, and I know it was a long time ago. It was so long I can't even remember being born, but I know it happened. But he went to that Billy Graham crusade and got born again, got genuinely converted to Jesus Christ, just like every other sinner gets saved. And he was on the set the next week, and of course the rumor had gone through the, if you've ever been on a movie set, and I've worked on Christian films, 10 different Christian films over the years, and there's a lot of people behind the scenes. And there was much more people on those Hollywood movies behind the scenes than the films we were making. But it went like a rumor, I mean, quickly. Hamblin's got religion. Stuart Hamblin's got religion. And John Wayne confronted him, and John Wayne said to him, "Stuart, I heard you got religion," kind of mocking him. And Stuart Hamblin replied, "It is no secret what God can do." And that became a song. It's a wonderful song. It goes, I'm not going to sing it, I want you to stay to the end. But it goes like this, just one of the stanzas. The chimes of time bring out the news, another day is done. Someone slipped and fell, was that someone you? You may have hope for added strength, your courage to renew. But do not be discouraged, I have good news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret this morning what God can do in a sinner's life. They would just come to him, bow at an old-fashioned altar, kneel there in your pew. I was in church last fall. Big church, and they had a big day. I won't tell you how many people got saved, but it was a lot of folk. I mean, way up in double digits. But what they did in that church, I've never been to another church that did it this way. But in a moment, I'm asked, if you're saved, not saved, would you raise your hand? And people would raise their hand all over the auditorium. And someone would come, a Christian, they had their eyes open. They're looking. They would grab those people. They'd take them out in a side room. Sometimes they sat down right in the pew. Listen, you don't have to come to an altar to get saved. But in order to get to heaven, you've got to get saved. And you better get saved somewhere. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for me, he can do for you. What he's done for Brother Gravely, he can do for you. He can do it. It just takes two parties, you and him. And it works. I can tell you without any qualifications, If you come to Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive you of your sins, he'll forgive you. You ask him to save you, he'll save you. It's no secret what God can do in the life of a sinner. I want to ask this question. How many folk in this room would say, Brother Green, I came to church one Sunday, or maybe during a revival meeting. I came to church one day as a lost sinner, and a man preached and gave the gospel, and I sat there in that pew and I recognized I was lost and I needed to be saved. And that day in that church, I either walked the aisle and knelt at the old-fashioned altar, or sat there in the pew and someone came with a Bible and showed me how to be saved. You say, preacher, I came to church lost one day, headed for hell, but I walked out of that building saved and headed for heaven. Would you raise your hand high that I could see it?
Yeah. Amen.
All right, let's bow our head and close our eyes.